Edius, Perek Ches, Mishnah Gimel, 8-3. There's a lot going in this Mishnah, and a lot more than meets the eye in terms of the words themselves. So let me say the whole Mishnah outside first, setting the principles up first, and then we'll see it in the words. So the first thing you need to know is the rules of a halal and a halala. So a Kohen can't marry certain people, like, for example, a divorcee, a grusha, and if he has a child with a grusha, so the offspring is called a halal if it's a boy, or a halala if it's a woman, a girl. And the idea is that although this child's father is a Kohen, this child has been emptied out, mukhulal, emptied out of his kohuna status. In other words, he can't serve in the Beis Hamikdash or eat trum and the like. Now, if a halal sleeps with a regular Jewish woman, she too becomes a halala. Okay, so now she also can't marry a Kohen just by virtue of the fact that she slept with a halal. So that's part number one. Now, part number two is this. When it comes to a suffix, you're not an uncertain situation. So the rule is that if you have a suffix, if it's the issue at hand is a Doraisa prohibition, the Torah prohibition, so then we rule strictly and we say you have to assume the worst case for the doubt, the suffix. If it's Durabana, you could go leniently. Notwithstanding that, if you have what's called a sfake sfeika, you have two uncertainties built one on top of the other, where even if the first case turned out to be the bad scenario, still there's a second possibility that the second case is the good scenario, if you will. And I'll give an example in a moment. So it's called the sfeik sfeika, a double doubt, if you will. So the rule is that when it comes to a double doubt, one can be lenient, even on a Doraisa issue. So the particular case of our Mishnah here is that there was a woman who's now a widow, and she married into a family where it was known that there was a suffic halal, someone in the family who might have been a halal. Okay? Now, we don't know if she married that person or she married somebody else in the family, his cousin, let's call it. And now she's a widow. So that sets up what's called a sfake sfeika, a double doubt, because first of all, maybe the person who she married wasn't the suffic halal guy. I mean, if she was married to the person who actually had this dubious lineage, still maybe his lineage actually, although it was dubious, he was a suffic halal, maybe he actually wasn't a halal, okay? So however that could happen, it doesn't matter for now. The point is that's the setup. So this woman now has this double doubt, and the question is, can she marry into a regular Kohanic family? And the answer is, me'ikra din, yes, because this is a sfake sfeika. Maybe her husband wasn't a suffic halal, and even if he was, maybe he was just actually not a halal, though. So therefore, she should be able to marry into a family of Kohanim, even though, right? And we can disregard this question that maybe she's a halala. And notwithstanding that, the Mishnah will say, there was a din derabanan that was put forth really right prior to the story of our Mishnah here. Our Mishnah remembers in Yavne, Rabban Gamliel is the Nasi. His immediate predecessor was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the previous Nasi, had said that for the sake of what's called Malas Yuchsin, for the sake of being extra stringent in terms of keeping people's pedigree, people's family tree clean, the Kohanim shouldn't marry a woman who's even a Sfeik Sfeika of an Isser, of being a Chalala. So therefore, even though Me'ikra din, it's Mutter, and the din will be like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, if they did get married, we don't force them to get divorced. L'charchila, we don't set things up that they can get married in the first place. That's the gist of our Mishnah over here. Now, the Mishnah will use the term almanas isa. The word isa means dough, as in dough for making bread. And that's a reference to the fact that a dough is a blend of multiple things. So every time it says isa, that's just kind of a code word for sfeik sfeika, the double doubt of the problem. Okay? So, with that in mind, we say, Hey, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, almanas isa. You have this woman, an almana is a widow, who's an almanas isa. She is a sfeik, a doubled out widow, meaning the exact case I said before. Maybe your husband was a suffic halal, and even if he was that guy, maybe he actually wasn't a halal. He was a suffic, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. He switched to birth in the hospital, whatever the story is, okay, or whatever. There's lots of ways it can happen that she could be a suffix halal. So they testify that this woman, shehi ksheira lekahuna, that she can marry freely lecharchila into a regular Kohen family. no problem because her status as a halal is really a sveik sveika, a doubled out, and we can be lenient when it comes to sveik sveika even for a doraisa. Sha'isa ksher latam. So now the Mishnah says here, Sha'isa, when it comes to someone who's a sveik sveika, a family that has in it, a family tree that has this doubled out situation, kshera, first of all, she can marry in. And second of all, latamu, latahir, larachek, lakarev. So exactly, the translation is a little hard to do word for word. It basically means, and I'll show you the words afterwards, basically means just because you have the suffix in your family tree, that maybe, you know, the family tree that who's the grandmother is this woman who's maybe a halal, maybe not, you can't now go leniently or strictly relative to other things. You have to assume, like, you can dismiss that suffix altogether as a doubled out, and therefore the family has to be strict, as quantity strict across the board, and, you know, there's no wiggle. As if, you know, as you disregard the suffix altogether and treat them like a regular family. So that's what it means here. It says, inside it says, Sha'isa Ksheira, a family that has within it the suffix halal mixed in, still it's totally kosher in every sense, and therefore you have to, letame, when it comes to a forbidden person, let's translate it as a tame person, a person forbidden to marriage, l'rachek, they have to be distanced from, meaning they can't marry a person who's forbidden to them, but a person who is permitted, mi'ikra din, l'karev, they can draw close. Okay, that's one reading of it. The point, whatever the exact translation is of what these four words come to exactly mean, the gist of it is the same across the board, which is they should be treated just no more leniently and just as strictly as, and keep all the strictures of a regular Kohen family without any such doubt. So we dismiss the sveik altogether. Amar Rabban Gamliel. Now, many Girsos, the Mishnahs, have Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel is the Nasi at the time that this is happening, Bobayom of Mesechus Edius. He's the right man. There's a Girsa issue. He did have a son called Shimon. He had a father named Shimon too, but probably that is not correct here, so just take those words out. Amar Rabban Gamliel. Kibalnu Eduschem. He says, we accept your testimony. We believe you 100%. That's the tradition you receive from Yerubim, maybe going all the way back to Har Sinai. We don't doubt it. It's true. We accept it. That a woman who's a sveik sveika, in terms of being a halala, can, yes, marry to a kohanim, no problem. But notwithstanding that, that's not the din. Avol ma'naaseh, what are we supposed to do? We have no choice. Shegaza Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, my predecessor, the Nasi Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, made a separate gezerah, that shelo lahoshiv bate dinin al kach, that we don't, literally means we don't seat, we don't establish, we don't set up, we don't convene a bezdin for this purpose. Meaning that what he is meaning, not literally, is we don't lechachila set things up that even a sveik sveika chalala marries a kohen lechachila. We don't do that because of this idea of malas yuchsen, but the halacha is like him, but that would mean, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but that would mean that b'di'eved, although we don't set it up in the first place, if a suffik, sveik sveik, I should say, chalala, marries a kohen, we let the marriage stand, no problem. Now, finishing up here, Rabban Gamliel says, ha'kohanim shomen lachem l'rachek, if you tell the kohanim to distance themselves from the sveik sveika, not to marry her, they're going to listen to you. Avalola karev, but if you tell them they're allowed to marry, they won't listen to you. Meaning, even if you're technically right to make her a din, they're going to ignore you. So don't even say it. This, the Ram, the Parish Mishnayos, understands this, like, reflects the sentiment that's shown in the previous mission. We'll call it the previous mission. We had that family of Kohanim who wanted to sort of believe these witnesses that their, I'll call it daughter-in-law, or ex-daughter-in-law, whatever she was, not valid to get married because they accept the testimony that, you know, that she was held hostage, but they reject the testimony that she was not violated. The point is, you see from the previous Mishnah, the Kohanim are very strict on themselves, even beyond what's reasonable, beyond what's legally required. So to over here, says Rabban Gamliel, the Kohanim are going to be strict. You see from Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai's Gezerah that they should ignore Ikar Adin and go for Malas Yuchsin and be extra punctilious, scrupulous, careful regarding their lineage. And therefore, even though she's a sveik sveika and really Ikar Adin, she's a muteris to marry into them, the rabbis are going to say in this halacha, no, the Kohanim don't marry even a sveik sveika of a woman who is forbidden to them.